Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
The show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. We're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, a.k.a. the champions, a.k.a. the silent assassins, the trio of bloodshed, the laser tag triumvirate, and intern Parker. Who's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along? How are we this morning? We good? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody Mack.
Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. I'm feeling good after last night's performance. I feel like a battle-tested warrior.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I could be killed right now. If someone tried to kill me, I'm pretty much invincible. I don't think I could be killed. We had a great time at the laser tag event.
Yeah, shout out to Next Level Knoxville for having us out there. Great turnout.
Yeah, turnout. I was surprised everyone from the station actually came.
Well, four of the five shows.
Well, of course, yeah. You know, it's optional, didn't show up, but it was an optional event, so.
You fitting.
Know, granted, I mean, what did we expect? But, you know, it was fun. I had a good time. It was me, you, Ben.
It was team captains were me and Nate.
I was the first round selection on you.
Yeah,
on your team.
I said I need Cody and Ben.
Actually, you said Ben and Cody. But
I went alphabetical order. But yeah,
I mean, yeah. So that's fine.
I was the clear number one pick in the draft.
So that's
Ben
fine.
Lee is still the first segment. Speak when spoken to. Me, you, Bear, Ben.
Bear was a warrior.
We had Ben's friend Serrano.
Yes, son of Dave Serrano.
Yeah, we had yes. some. We had some UT legacy there. We had Dave Serrano.
And who else did we have? We had seven, didn't we? So that's five.
Oh, yeah, Cam, intern Cam.
Cam. We had one more.
And Rick.
Rick,
Butler.
We had Rick, yeah.
Played the second game and
that's
third game.
It. That's
not the
it.
First game.
Yeah, first game
we were outnumbered.
Was...
And, yeah, me and you dominated the first game. We were the only two remaining people on our team going up against four of their guys, and we picked them off.
And when you look at the kind of guys that we beat, it was basically like going up against the White Walkers. Like Russell, Davey.
Some gangly-looking guys.
Yeah, yeah. And so we
Brandon,
took out...
Brandon, I mean, Brandon fits that mold too. Brandon, Davey, Russell, they had the size and the gangliness.
So essentially we took out two-thirds of the drive, all of three and out. Yeah. It basically, we just dominated
and recruited.
Yeah, and recruited Bear to our side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We killed Tanner and Cole, too.
That's right. It was a James Harden performance for me. I mean, the first two games combined 65 hits. I don't know that was by far and away the best. And that was James Harden out there just plucking along.
You played?
Shooting,
yes.
Yelling, doing hand motions like I was cooking.
Right.
Screaming at them.
Talking a lot of noise.
Calling all of them cockroaches.
And I think you intimidated them.
And calling out where everyone was. I mean, I was a spotter out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun time. If you are getting the itch to go play, it's a good team-building experience. It's also a good date night, a time with the friends. Use the promo code Fox Sports. If you're booking online, that's Fox Sports, one word. But he also said if you're stopping by in person, just tell them you're coming through Fox Sports and you'll get the same discount.
My favorite moment was when it came down to Brandon in the first game.
Yeah.
It was just Brandon. He was the only one left. And you went for the attack, and he didn't know I was still alive. And I came in from the side.
And gutted him.
And we took him out.
We flanked him.
My strategy was like, you know how the NASCAR drivers used to hang back at the restrictor plate tracks to avoid the big wreck?
Yeah, sure.
And then make their move at the end?
Yeah.
That was my strategy. Uh-huh. That's how I stayed alive.
Mine was just a run around screaming and trying to disorient people.
You were an attacker. You were an attacker, a great leader on the battlefield.
My goal was just to disorient everyone, draw the attention to myself. The idea was I'd draw the attention to myself, my team shoots, but instead I just had to take the attention and keep shooting. Rambo, if you will, a little bit of a Rambo vibe to it.
Yeah. My goal was just to stay alive.
And we won.
We did.
And it was 2-0, and then we gave them the third game. Third game, you're supposed to get 10 lives. The third game, I told the guy, hey, give us all 5 instead. Let's see if we can embarrass them. And we got wiped out in the third game. But everyone knows it's best 2 out of 3, and when you win the first two, it's like
baseball.
Sure.
It's hard to complete the sweep. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that last day doesn't really matter.
The Sunday, if you watch baseball, when it gets, especially
in
the summer, you win the Friday-Saturday game. Sunday, it's just kind of we're going to rest some of our guys. It's been a long week. Let's just try to get out of town uninjured. That's kind of how that third game was.
Houston claimed that we cheated the second game, which was not true.
It's just a
garbage claim.
What a sad claim
it
from
was
somebody.
Because Bear and I had the strategy of hanging back and ambushing them. So we stayed on their side and hid on their side, and they started to attack. We came in from behind and just obliterated some people.
It's like a wise man once said, all is fair in love and tactical laser tag military-grade warfare.
That's right. That's right. Great time last night. Glad we went.
I would like to take this opportunity to vote myself MVP.
Okay. I'll vote for you.
Thank you, Cody. Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Wow. Unanimous. Thanks, guys.
Well, Parker.
You guys did great, too. Parker wasn't there.
Parker didn't show.
I don't know if if his invite got lost in the mail, or if he just ignored us, or if he was too busy watching Game of Thrones, or whatnot. But I mean, it's fun.
So what happened with it's optional? I mean, Trey said he had a commitment. Fine. I mean, no one could show.
Chance texted me saying he had a commitment, even though I sent this invitation out 13
days
ago.
Several weeks ago.
We've been talking about it for 3 weeks. So I don't know really how you could have other commitments, but it's fun. It's fun. It was team building for the team who wanted to be there.
It's a great time.
Team building for the team who wanted to be there.
A great night for Talk Sports, as you would guess.
That's
with most athletic competitions.
That's true. Even on the basketball court, McClure walked in, sunk his first three.
And then made the mistake of
shooting again. Never shoot again.
I should have just walked off.
Make the first three and then walk off. You're done.
Walked right in, buried one. Should have just walked right off.
Let's go play laser tag, folks. That's what you should have said. Let's go play laser tag. Well, that was our story of the day. Tennessee has another solid day in their athletics, I guess, adding a transfer from Georgia. One with a little bit of a questionable pass at Georgia. If you listen to Georgia fans, or you're getting a guy who's got a little bit of off the field issues when it comes to laying off the weed. But Tennessee set to add top 50 player from the 2017 class, D'Angelo Gibbs. He was a defensive back at Georgia. Apparently, the initial report is he's going to play wide receiver here at Tennessee.
Nice.
Okay. I think I'm with that. I do think Tennessee's got, between last year's recruiting class and this year's class, I do think Tennessee is adding a pretty a number of good secondary players. And when I look at it, really, are there any other wide receivers who are standing out to you from these last two recruiting classes other than Ramel Keaton?
No.
Right. So, okay. I mean, if you want to try to add some depth there, I'm with it.
He was a high four-star prospect.
Yeah.
What year is he in?
2017.
Okay.
So he'd be a top 50 player. And combine that with, Tennessee also getting that Aubrey Solomon guy from Michigan, who was the number 23 player. He was a 5-star, right? A top 25 player should be a 5-star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, Tennessee's added two pretty good pieces to this roster from that recruiting class. And that 2017 class was not good, right? When we started looking back at that recruiting class a couple years ago, it was not good. Not a lot of playmakers there. So Tennessee's added two. Solomon, last I heard, is still feeling confident that he'll be cleared to play this year? Now, I don't think Gibbs is definitely having to sit out a year, right? Like, Gibbs is sitting out a year. I haven't seen anybody really making a case for him to be eligible next year. So, Tennessee adds a little bit of quality to their roster. Now, what happens with most transfers is that there's something's gone wrong at their schools before. Either playing time or quote-unquote attitude problems or some off-the-field stuff, like I said, with Gibbs. The weed!
If the only problem this guy has is he likes a little weed, I'm good. If that's what got him, you know, exiled from Georgia, it's fine with me. Come up here, smoke all the weed you want, and let's go win some football games.
Gibbs is the cousin of Nigel Warrior, right? Gibbs is the cousin of Nigel Warrior, so I don't know if that played anything into the recruitment. I don't know if, you know, there's some Georgia ties there on the staff. I don't know how Tennessee was able to quickly land him, but they did. So some good momentum for Tennessee keeps rolling on.
I'm reading about this guy on Dog Nation. Isn't that where Mike Griffith works now?
Maybe.
Apparently there's a show on Tuesdays called The Chip and Griff Show, 12:30.
The Chip and Griff Show?
The Chip and Griff Show. So that's...
Can't imagine watching that.
Good for Mike, I guess.
Sounds like a male exotic dancer show.
You think of like Chippendales?
Yeah, Chip and Griff.
I thought of Andy Griffith.
Okay.
It's like Andy Griffith.
So you went with Griff, I went with the Chip part of it.
What? Maybe you combine the two. Maybe you combine Andy Griffith and maybe it has kind of a brothel feel to
maybe,
it.
Maybe, yeah, maybe their dancing comes out. They come out in old school sheriff outfits.
But they have bow ties.
Okay.
So, interesting strategy.
Griffith brings the hat on.
Yeah.
Has the hat, the cop hat. Maybe there's a little Opie there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe Chip dresses up as Opie. A sexy Opie.
It could work.
I'd watch.
Especially in Georgia.
Just for journalistic purposes.
Yeah, of course.
Wait, did I mean to say that?
No. Yeah. Apparently, another one of Gibbs' cousins is J.R. Reed. Not John Reed Reed, but J.R. Reed, who could be a cousin of yours. You could be related to this guy. J.R. Reed is a standout safety for the Bulldogs.
Okay.
You remember him?
No.
We've played against him.
All right.
He's a great safety for Georgia.
Cool.
And that's Gibbs' cousin. So,
all right. Anything else from his family tree we can get to?
No.
Did you have anything with this research you're doing on him, or is that it? Just that?
Grandson of Drew Brees, actually. Went to school with Wanya.
Say that one more time.
Grandson of Drew Brees. That's a lie. I'm lying about that. But the other two things, you said he's Nigel Warrior's cousin, and he's also cousins of J.R.
You said he went to school with Wanya Morris. Who went to school with Wanya Morris? Gibbs? Okay.
So Wanya would have been just a young sprout.
But it seems like Tennessee, I mean, I guess Tennessee's, maybe that's a bigger part of the story is Tennessee's success down in Georgia, right? They are making some inways with some of these high schools. You know, Marietta sending Harrison Bailey and Keaton, and there's a couple other studs that are still on the radar in this upcoming, next year's class. And whatever, you know, Wanya's school, you got him, obviously, and okay, now Gibbs is there. So maybe Tennessee's becoming the favorite school of some of these Georgia high schools that are pumping out elite talent. Combine that with, what was the guy's name, Hazelwood, that went to Oklahoma that came out and called the coaches fake? Maybe Tennessee.
Call them used car salesmen.
Yeah, maybe Georgia losing a little favor with some of these high schools down in their state. And Tennessee becoming the preferred choice. That would be a big development, right?
Yeah, I mean, we need to take everything away from Georgia that we can. And I think we should pull for other schools even to have success in Georgia. I mean, obviously, we want to get the best players we can.
Yeah, preferably that's like Miami and Florida State.
Yeah,
we'll sprinkle a little Clemson in there, too. We don't want them to necessarily be SEC schools. Hey, Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech, step your game up a little
bit. Get it together, bud.
Yeah, can you help us out?
Yeah. Whoever you are at Georgia Southern. Try to get some of those guys. Georgia State.
Is that what we want? Would we rather open the gates of Georgia and just have a free-for-all down there in recruiting, or would rather it be just Georgia and Tennessee kind of getting a lot of the elite prospects.
I'd rather it be a free-for-all. Anything that can water down Georgia's roster a little bit, like take away some of those big-time players and send them to other places.
Okay.
We need Georgia back on a level of like,
you know. Of Georgia.
A Georgia level. And they've been a close to a championship level.
Yeah, they, well, especially the last couple of years, they have tried to start recruiting a little bit more like Alabama, right? Mm-hmm. And just having the elite talent. We needed them to take a couple steps back. But, okay. Interesting little development down there to keep an eye on. And we already went through that exercise at some point last year, right? When we compared Tennessee prospects to Georgia prospects, just in-state. And, like, the 10 best Georgia guys were better than the second Tennessee-rated recruit. Does that make sense? Like, I think the very top end of Tennessee was still okay, but, like, the 1 through 10 of Georgia would have been the second or third highest-ranked Tennessee prospect. Just a different type of quality there.
Well, so it was just more depth. It's like comparing the songs of Billy Joel and Elton John.
Compared to Chumbawamba. Like, hey, that one song, awesome. Like, I get knocked down, banger. But you don't really have a second song.
I don't know what that is. I was going to say that Billy Joel, like his top 10, 15 songs can compare, but Elton's catalog is just deeper. Well, Elton's got the depth.
I think the Chumbawamba reference makes sense, too. I think that comparison makes sense because that's a banger. Number one, that'd be a great song. That's the Tennessee recruiting class. Chumbawamba, their catalog.
I was thinking, I mean, we have more than one top player, though, one top prospect.
Not when you're looking at, like, the top 10, not really, I mean. But sure, I mean, I was going a little bit more drastic, and maybe your Elton John, Billy Joel comparison would have been okay, too.
I don't know.
I think we're saying the same thing.
Essentially.
You win this round. You win this round. Your comparison was better, and, you know, sometimes I get knocked down, but I'll get up again. You will never, ever keep me down. Let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Did you want to make your peace, I guess, with the Lady Vols, or are we just ignoring that? Because I'm going to move on from Tennessee basketball for a bit and Tennessee sports, just for a little bit. There's a little bit of a tie at the next one, obviously, in the NFL with Eric Berry, but is there anything you want to get off your chest at the beginning of the show, or are you good?
Well, like many true Lady Vol fans, I'd like to get Holly Warlick off my chest. It's time for her to be fired.
Chiefs are expecting Eric Berry to play. And do yourself a favor, maybe do this during our commercial breaks, or maybe just try to skim and read along as you still listen. So, like, what I'm saying is don't leave us. Don't leave us, but I will tweet out from the station account this story on ESPN about Eric Berry. And it's awesome. And assuming you are a Tennessee fan, you should go and read it. I assume you're a Tennessee fan. You should go and read it. Even if you're not a Tennessee fan, you should read it. It details Eric Berry and his relationship with his teammates and how he's the team leader and how he's broken down the huddle. Like, he's been the guy in the middle of the huddle breaking down the team for the last 2 years, even though he has played 3 games.
Can you just read it to us?
All of it?
Yeah. I have, like, a story time. How long did it take you to read it?
I mean, it'd be a segment. Do you just want me to read it? You just want to do a new segment called I Read the Internet?
Yeah.
Reed reads the internet.
Read it to me.
On one of the good days between treatments, Alyssa Crane made the 45-minute drive from her apartment in Parkville, Missouri, to the Kansas City Chiefs training camp in the summer of 2015.
If you do it like that, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep it together.
She had just been diagnosed with cancer a few months earlier, was 24 years old, and was scared. Her friends and family would try to talk to her about cancer, and no matter what they said, everything seemed depressing. Crane had an aggressive form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and a large mass in her lung. She was told she'd probably never be able to have children.
Okay, This is just sad. It's a very sad story.
Well, I mean, it's inspiring. Do you want me to keep reading or no?
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I was doing my best Tom Rinaldi voice there. Like, without doing a Tom Rinaldi, but I feel like that was my Outside the Lines voice. And as someone who has been starred on Outside the Lines, shout out Shiano Sunday, I feel like I nailed the voice. I mean, I didn't get to talk on it or nothing. They just played my video a little bit.
I feel like,
I mean, I was on there.
I feel like
not breaking fake Jeff Brom news. Like, I was on there yelling, hell no, Shiano, and really whipping some boys up in a frenzy for a riot.
I feel like we should have some music in the background, maybe with some chimes.
The trip to camp was a way to escape for a moment. But what Crane really wanted was to meet Eric Berry. Just 8 months earlier, the All-Pro safety had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and now he was back and was cleared for practice. Crane wore a Chiefs ball cap over her bald head and held a sign that read, "Future Lymphoma Survivor," in quotes, or in parentheses, just like Berry. Berry walked up a hill to meet her and gave her a hug. He talked about some of the symptoms he had, the numbness and the nausea, and didn't sugarcoat stuff, she said. Most of all, he made her feel comfortable. If Eric Berry could come back from cancer to play football again, why couldn't she beat this too? He signed a football for her. In quotes, "Fear nothing and attack everything." 3.5 years later, Crane is in remission, married, and expecting her first child. She and husband Taylor don't know the baby's gender because they want to be surprised. But Crane knows one thing for sure. One of the first things their kid will wear is an Eric Berry jersey. That's the opening part of the article. Do you want me to keep going? Because it's kind of long.
Yeah, I'm good. Sounds like a good article.
Well, then it transitions into more of like Berry on the field. Like it does a nice little bookend job of story about this inspiration that Berry's given, and you know, kind of paints the tale of what Eric Berry means to the Kansas City Chiefs, like just their fan base. Like some of their fans are upset because he did just sign this $74 million extension.
So basically, it's built like a TV story.
Yeah, no, I mean it's nicely woven together, and then at the end, it talks about her. She actually wasn't able to wear Eric Berry jersey to the game because she's pregnant, and the bump's too big, but she was there, you know, rooting on the Chiefs as they beat the Colts, and you know.
That's what they teach you in TV broadcasting, to start with how it affects people, the person, the singular person, the local effect, and then bring it into the bigger issue, and then wrap it back around to Tina or whoever, you know.
Yeah.
Tina can't walk to restaurants because she only has one foot, and they don't make bicycles for people with one foot. And then it's like, there's a new company who makes bicycles for people with one foot, and they're having a lot of success. And then it wraps back to Tina, and then it's over.
Some quotes in here from teammates, and I've seen some quotes from teammates this week about Eric Berry, like who's expected to play on Sunday in the AFC Championship. And the defense just keeps saying, we're a different team when Berry's out there. To me, it seems kind of obvious that his peers have the utmost respect for Eric Berry. Like one of these guys in here in this practice squad safety, Leon McQuay, calls Eric Berry Superman. They think very highly of him. And I'll tweet out the story if you want to read it, because then it goes on to have some nice moments with Eric Berry and his mom and how he went through the treatment and just how he kind of holed himself up in their home for 9 months. After he got diagnosed with cancer, as he was getting treated, he just sat there with them, watching Sin of a Woman and The Sound of Music, because he didn't want to watch football. Some stories about Eric Berry in high school. She said that they just kind of go into Eric Berry, how he used to always round up scraps, like leftovers, I guess, to take to lunch in high school, and she couldn't understand it because they always gave him lunch money. And then she found out that Eric Berry was giving the lunch money to his friend who couldn't afford lunch, and how he was the one eating the leftovers but paying for his friend's food. And then it's got Philip Fulmer in there quoting, talking about Eric Berry just being a winner and how Berry had committed to Tennessee early but waited until the last moment to actually make it official. That way, as many colleges as possible would come watch Eric Berry play high school football and see his teammates play, trying to get them in front of as many eyes as possible. Like, he knew he was coming to Tennessee, but didn't want to announce it. That way people would still recruit him heavily and be there,
and giving
his friends as many opportunities as possible.
They might stumble upon one of his teammates.
Right. Talks about how he became a team captain at Tennessee his sophomore year. How his freshman year he unseated a fifth-year senior for a starting job. And how when he got to Kansas City, he immediately asked a veteran, "Hey, can I shadow you?" And the veteran's like, "I've never had anybody ask that. I've never seen anything like that." But that let you know this cat was different. He wanted to absorb everything. And now he's kind of assumed the team leader role. It's a really great story about Eric Berry. Really great story about Eric Berry. Goes into him like, how he's always at the children's hospital, but never wants to publicize it. Makes Eric Berry seem bigger than the sport, which he is. And, they kind of show that with his effect on this, on cancer survivors, people who are fighting the same battles that he is, people who are facing adversity. But there's also laying out like, hey, he's really good at football too. And says that him coming back could really help this Chiefs defense. And how the last time Eric Berry played against the Patriots in 2017, Rob Gronkowski had two catches for 33 yards. And that was Rob Gronkowski in 2017, who was still a little bit better, right? Not the Frankenstein monster who is being held together by tape and braces and needs to be oiled up before he goes out and takes a run. So there are some big football implications to it as well. On the field and in the locker room, as they're talking about just how much this team relies on him and loves him. Great piece about Eric Berry. I'll tweet it out right now from the Fox Sports Knox Twitter account. And I read all this to tell you, Cody McClure. You read that and I feel like your Patriots are in trouble. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I love Eric Berry. He's probably my favorite of all time. But Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
Well worth a read. I just tweeted it out there. And like I said, the emotional aspect of it, the teammates just having him around is going to be a boost for the Chiefs. And I do think that on the field, Berry, who has somehow been day-to-day since September, who quite honestly maybe this is his last game in Kansas City if they lose. Maybe. Because, like I said, his Achilles injury is bad. He's been day-to-day all year, and he's played two games. He came back, played two games, and was back on the bench. Hurt. Like, apparently his Achilles tendon, he's got a bone that's digging into it and whatever. He's just in a bunch of pain when he's playing and can't move around as good as he needs to. And they are going to have to make some salary cap decisions about this because he did sign a big extension. He did sign a big extension 2 years ago, and he's played three games since then. I don't know if the Chiefs would make a move because, I just told you how great he is in the locker room and how everyone loves him and how the city loves him, but, at a certain point, it's a business, so it could be the last time we see Eric Berry.
If he's that important to him, though, then he's a pretty big asset.
Yeah.
Surely they wouldn't cut him loose.
They try to rework the contract or something at that point. I don't know. I'm just saying he has a $78 million contract, a six-year deal. Like in the NFL, those are fickle. And the NFL is the sport where nostalgia matters the least. Like loyalty and what you've done for me lately. Loyalty clashes with what have you done for me lately. Right? So maybe they keep him. Like I said, he's still good when he plays. And Andy Reid's quoted this week of saying, "I see Eric Berry out there. He looks good. He looks like the old Eric Berry." Maybe he comes out and he's a missile, and he's that hard-hitting linebacker that we saw at Tennessee with also the speed to be an All-American at safety. You know what I mean? Like he hits like a linebacker, runs like a cornerback. Maybe we see that from Eric Berry, and he picks up where he's left off. Or maybe this is it, and he's going to go out there, and he'll be 85% but play, and the Chiefs lose to Tom Brady, and then the Chiefs are forced with a tough decision.
Well, if that's the case, if he's only 85%, I don't want to see Tom Brady pick on him, which is what could happen if Belichick and Brady, if they find that Berry is the weakness, and they try to exploit it. I don't want to see Eric Berry get burnt in the AFC Championship.
And I don't know if he's 85%. Maybe he's better than that. I don't know. I just feel like from conditioning and you know, game conditioning aside, it'd be hard to be 100% when he's played two games and, you know, since week one of last year.
Right. Like, no matter how good you look in practice, it's much different than being on the field.
It would take a really, really sick person to root for the Patriots in this game. It would take a really sick person to root for the Patriots over the best Vol since Peyton Manning. Like, to me, Eric Berry is the Vol. Eric Berry's my guy. He's my generation's guy. Like, Peyton was cool, but, you know, Peyton was gone by the time I turned 8. You know what I mean? Like, he was gone when I was 7. Love Peyton, don't get me wrong, but Berry's my guy. It would take a really, really sick person to sit here and root for the Patriots with no real ties to Boston. That's all I'm saying. If that's you, then shame on you. Is that you, Ben Lee? Big thumbs down from Ben Lee. Intern Parker, is that you? Big thumbs down from Parker. Cody, is that going to be you?
You're damn right it's going to be me, because I want to see the villain, Tom Brady, in the Super Bowl so that I can see my guy, Alvin Kamara, win a Super Bowl. I'd like to see that, too.
You'd rather Alvin Kamara get a Super Bowl ring than Eric Berry.
No, but I'd rather.
Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Eric Berry, who
no.
I just said might be at the end of his ropes.
I'd rather see
elite
a villain. I'd rather see the supreme villain on the biggest stage so that when he loses, it's even bigger.
Well, how about we just
and
hate,
the end can come.
How about we root for the Rams and say that Sue sucks? Let's root against Sue and McVay. Let's let them be the villain.
Don't act like I'm anti-Eric Berry because I want to see the villain in the Super Bowl.
I mean, you're rooting against him in the AFC Championship. I just told you, Eric Berry's 30 years old, and they're going to have to make a tough decision with his contract in the offseason.
You can't talk. After what the things you've done this week, after what you did to me this week, you have no room to talk about this. What kind of a sick person pulls for the Patriots? Kind of a sick person ruins Game of Thrones.
I didn't ruin it. You want me to ruin
it?
I'll ruin it. Keep going. You want me to ruin it?
Stop.
Just don't check out the Chiefs' social media account. That's all I'll say. They're out here tweeting spoilers from last season. I at least had the decency to do one from like 4 years ago. They're doing one from like, well, I guess it's 2 years at this point. Mine was more like 5 or 6 years, I guess.
You can't say I'm anti-Eric Berry I want to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Do you want to see Eric Berry win a Super Bowl this year?
I mean, I always pull for Eric Berry.
Do you want to see the Chiefs
make
the Super Bowl?
Don't make it cut and dry. It doesn't have to be cut and dry. It doesn't have to be black and white.
There's no shades of gray here. There's no shades of gray
here. There's at least 50.
It's a yes or a no.
We read about it in a book.
There's no gray here. It's yes or no. Do you want to see the Chiefs win on Sunday?
I want to see a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl.
So that would mean no, you're not rooting for the Chiefs and Eric Berry, who's 30 years old and, you know, a cancer survivor and been battling a really tough injury and represents the university really, really well. Loves Tennessee.
Don't act like that. There's been a lot of guys who have represented the University of Tennessee who have played for teams that you were rooting against.
None of them were named Eric Berry.
Every time Peyton Manning took the field against the Titans, you pulled for the Titans.
I just told you. Peyton doesn't mean the same to me that Eric Berry does.
Well, that's your prerogative.
I just told you that.
Prerogative.
If Eric Berry would have been on the field last year against the Titans in the playoffs, I might have been torn. I don't know.
You would have been pulling for the Titans.
I might have been torn. I don't know.
I'm pulling for the best Super Bowl because it's the biggest sporting event of the year, and I always like a good storyline.
I don't think there could be a better local storyline than VFL Eric Berry going after that elusive championship ring.
You should be a politician. The way that you connivingly reach the point to where you say, I'm pulling for Tom Brady and I'm against Eric Berry. I mean, what an awful thing.
You made your bed, sir. You lie in it. And you lie there with the fleas and the ticks and all the nasty dogs who are in your bed. Tom Brady's.
I'll lie there with you, the guy who pulled for the Titans for years against Peyton Manning.
You're right. I'm not lying about that. I can say it. You say you're rooting against Eric Berry. Look, listen to me. It's not that hard. I rooted against Peyton Manning. I rooted against him for the majority of his career. Now, I will say I rooted for him in the last Super Bowl, even though I had a bet on the Panthers to win the Super Bowl, and it would have made me a lot of money. I still found myself, you know what, I'm glad Peyton's getting right off into the sunset, even though I was kind of secretly a little bit mad. I was at least not actively rooting against him. I have no problem with admitting that. 1999 AFC Championship, Titans versus Colts. You're damn right I was rooting for the Titans. I can admit it. Now, here, you try it. You tell me you're rooting for Tom Brady over Eric Berry. Do it. Get it off your chest. Say it.
Rooting against the team does not mean you're rooting against the player. Maybe you're anti-Cordarrelle Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson doesn't mean much to me.
Eric Berry can mean something to me, and I still don't. It doesn't mean I'm rooting against him. That's not how this works. I just want a Saints-Patriots Super Bowl because I want the Saints to beat the Patriots.
You just
want to
be right.
Because the Saints are my second favorite team.
You just want to be right.
No, the Saints are my second favorite team.
Behind who?
The Bears. So I want to see the Saints and my boy Kamara take down Tom Brady. I've wanted it all year. Now, just because you come to me with this heartwarming Eric Berry story, a guy that I love dearly, and many of us do, doesn't change my mind about what I want to see in Atlanta.
I can hear the guilt coming off your voice. I can hear it. I just want you to know, you can lie to all the rest of the audience. You can't lie to me, and you can't lie to yourself. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Buckethead tweets in. I think he's kind of got your back here, Cody. Explain to me why Vols fans should instantly pull for former players. I'm not saying pull for former players. Jason Witten and the Cowboys, sorry. Cordarrelle Patterson and the Patriots, sorry. John Kelly and the Rams, sorry. I'm not advocating rooting for people just for Tennessee. I'm saying that I'm rooting for the Chiefs and Eric Berry. I want to see him get a ring, and I want to cash my future bets.
That's what it comes down to right there, cashing those future bets.
I'm not talking about me. This isn't about me. I'm not saying anybody has to root for anybody. I'm telling you, if you want the storyline of good versus evil, that's what you keep pining for. I don't think it gets better, more pure than Eric Berry and more evil than the cheaters, the New England Patriots. I don't think it gets any good, more good versus evil than this.
I just want the storyline to happen in the Super Bowl. I've been consistent with that.
The AFC Championship is a perfectly good place for the storyline.
It's not a big enough
place.
Stage. It's not the main stage. It's a side stage.
You are just like, and this might go completely over your head. I don't know. I'm sure you'll kind of grasp it. Maybe it's a good comparison, but to me, you're just like the writers for the WWE. You're always trying to save the biggest, best moments for WrestleMania.
Right.
We gotta
when it matters.
We gotta drag our feet and maybe not be good at, 75% the rest of the time because we gotta save our good stuff for WrestleMania. And then always before
when it
WrestleMania
matters.
And then always before WrestleMania, someone gets hurt and they have to call an audible. So what's going to happen is you're going to root for this, and then all of a sudden you're going to get a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, and you're not going to get anything to watch.
Well,
you're not going to get any storylines.
If I get a Rams-Patriots Super Bowl, I'll pull for John Kelly.
He won't even be active. He won't even be on the damn roster.
I'll pull for Aaron Donald. He's one of my favorite players.
Oh, yeah, is he?
Because he's big and athletic.
It was cool when he was doing the knife thing. Remember when he was doing the knife thing in the offseason? Do you remember the knife thing from the offseason?
No.
You don't remember him training with knives?
The
guy had knives.
I do remember
keeping
that.
His hands off of him?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That's how talented he is.
That was pretty cool. I'm just saying you're rooting for good versus evil, and you have it right here in front of your face. And you're like, no, that's not good. That's not evil enough. I need it to be bigger. Hey.
Shut up. There's a lot of guys who have done great things and been great protagonists in the
history. I need to be in the Super Bowl.
Hey.
My name's Cody.
Hey.
I need the Patriots versus Alvin Kamara in the Super Bowl. Alvin Kamara.
I don't like this voice that you do for me.
Mr. Roll Tide himself, Alvin Kamara.
Hey.
That's who I want to win.
You make me sound like some kind of caveman.
You keep saying you want good versus evil. You got it right here.
I'll pull for Eric Berry to have a good game. There's a lot of guys who have done great things, who have been great supporters of the community and done great things, and it's still been okay to root against their team. Tim Tebow, good example. Tim Tebow, maybe the greatest guy ever, right?
I can't say that.
A lot of people think that.
I mean, I would say
Did you pull for him at Florida?
No.
Well, there you go.
What makes him so great?
A lot of people think he's great.
What makes him so great?
He does charitable work. He's good in the community. He's, I don't know, a virgin. He's just pure.
I'd say Eric Berry's inspired just as many people.
Maybe he has.
And also had sex.
Maybe, well, congrats.
He's also
congrats
had sex.
To Eric Berry.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, you didn't pull for Tim Tebow at Florida.
I didn't pull against him in the NFL. I was kind of like, you know what, that's cool. Good luck, sir.
You pulled against him at Florida.
I did.
And he's a good person.
Sure.
The player and the team are not always the same. Do we label all the Ravens as murderers and wife beaters just because of Ray Rice and Ray Lewis?
As a Titans fan, yes, I do, except Justin Tucker, who I always make sure is on my fantasy team. Everyone else, scoundrels. Scum of the earth.
Joe Flacco doesn't beat his wife, as far as we
Flacco's
know.
Joe Flacco's probably not even married because he's goofy and tall and stupid-looking.
I've seen a lot of goofy, tall, stupid-looking guys who get women.
Not with the lack of personality like Flacco has.
He might be good with women in private.
He might be.
That might be his thing. Some of those guys that are quiet in public and don't have a lot of personality are the best guys in relationships. Ben says Russell Smith. Ben says that. I didn't say that.
I missed the joke. I don't know what.
Ben was just saying Russell's a big goofy guy.
Oh, basically. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Definitely was as we were shooting them in laser tag last night. They really disappointed with the lack of athleticism there.
Yeah, they were too tall.
Yeah. Shoulders. It's hard to cover your shoulder sensor whenever you are too tall to crouch.
Thanks for the backup, by the way, in Game 3 when I got surrounded by White Walkers in the middle room.
I know. Well,
Davey and Brandon. And
like I said, I went.
Big tall guys coming in with these guns.
I've always said you're
Forest of Giants.
I've always said you're Samwell Tarly.
I don't get that reference.
Eventually. If you'll watch the show, you'll
eventually
get
it. I mean, I've seen Samwell encounter the White Walkers.
Oh. Okay, well, there you go. He survived. I thought you were going to survive.
Oh, okay.
That was the comparison. He got surrounded by the White Walkers. I've always said you're Samwell Tarly. That was your destiny,
to get surrounded by the White Walkers. You didn't spoil anything with that.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't trying to.
Thanks, for once.
David May says for me to bend the knee to Cody McClure on this one. He's right. He's right about what? What is Cody right about here, that it's okay to root for the Patriots? No. Good, no, it's not.
I'm right about good versus evil. What is a Super Bowl without Tom Brady? I'm not saying you pull for the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl?
Let me be absolutely clear.
A Super Bowl? It's a Super Bowl?
As Brent Musburger once said, let me be perfectly clear. I'm not pulling for the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm pulling for the Patriots to be in the Super Bowl so that they can be knocked off in the Super Bowl.
We have a rundown of Cody's favorite teams this year.
None of them are accurate.
I don't remember the Packers on this. The Packers were the Packers Cody's favorite team ever?
Always enjoy your group text submissions.
The Steelers.
Your anonymous group text submissions.
I do remember the Steelers. Big Steelers
fan. Why don't
fan
you
this year.
At me? Go ahead and at me.
Big Steelers fan at one point this year. I do remember that.
No, I wasn't.
The
Not
Patriots.
Even for a day.
Big Patriots fan this year.
Nope.
The Bears and now the Saints.
Yes, love
don't
the
forget
Bears.
The Rams because like through week five, Big Rams fan. Remember the whole Los Angeles ties?
I was.
I root all for Los Angeles. That's what. Well, that was the quote. I root for Los Angeles.
West Coast, the best Lakers. Coast, John.
West Coast, best coast.
I like the Lakers and the Dodgers.
Hey, I like the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw.
I like the Lakers and I like the Dodgers. I could support the Rams.
I will say that I don't remember the Packers, but the rest check out. They're
no,
accurate.
No, Packers is accurate, too. I like Aaron Rodgers.
That's true.
Steelers does not check out.
I think it was just the Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was like when we started off like 3-1-1.
He
was like,
they'll
get it together. It's
Aaron
Rodgers
when he's not playing the Bears.
Okay.
I want to see Aaron Rodgers be successful.
He's one of the rare Bears Packers.
Steelers
supporters.
Makes no sense. Steelers makes no sense. Yeah. Yeah. One of the very few that likes both.
One of the very rare Bears Packers supporters, Cody McClure.
Not Packers, just Rodgers. See, in this scenario, I only root for the player. Much like I root for Eric Berry. See?
Except for when he's playing Tom Brady and the Patriots, apparently.
And the biggest game of his life.
I don't know where they got the
maybe his last ever home game.
Maybe.
I don't know where the Steelers thing came from.
I mean, you were a big Steelers supporter this year. Maybe not.
No,
a fan.
I wasn't.
You just were convinced they were so good.
You're betting they were going to win the AFC North.
Just because we make a bet against each other doesn't make me a Steelers fan.
I mean, check the power.
Are you a Georgia fan for saying that Georgia would win by 14.5 in every SEC game?
No.
16.5.
16.5.
I get labeled.
More wrong.
I get so labeled. These ridiculous labels because you paint me to be this front running guy.
Crimson Cody.
I like the Tennessee Volunteers. I like the Bears.
Secretary Eric Berry.
The Dodgers and the Lakers. That's my four. And if LeBron switches teams, it won't be the Lakers anymore. Those are my teams. Lakers, Dodgers. I pull for the Preds in playoff hockey. Good local team.
Sure.
Tennessee Vols, Bears. That's it.
I don't think you can say Lakers if it's actually just LeBron.
Okay, LeBron. To hell with the Lakers.
Were you happy the Lakers won last night?
I like Shaq, too, though. I like Shaq, too.
Well, that could mean you could be a Suns fan, a Cavs fan, a
Orlando.
Celtics fan.
Well,
don't forget the Magic.
Well, Shaq didn't have the same pull as LeBron, though, as far as
he
goes to a team and I become a fan of that team.
Okay. Heat.
Yeah, the Heat. Went down to Miami just to heat it up.
Yeah.
No, he never. We got the six teams he played for here. We got the six teams.
Did you like Shaq's rap album?
No.
Alan Bell is going to join us to talk some NFL in the third hour again.
Thank God. Love Alan Bell.
In the third hour. In the third hour, we're going to talk Alan Bell. Next hour, we will talk more about Tennessee versus Alabama. Not the Lady Vol Tennessee versus Alabama. That one didn't go so well. Hopefully the one tomorrow inside of a sold-out TBA goes a little bit better on this Tennessee basketball we're going to kick your ass tour.
That's the only team that matters.
In the grand scheme of things, sure.
Tennessee basketball.
That's true.
Something we can all agree on.
Well, I mean, just earlier this week you were saying it was stupid that I said we were a basketball school. But now you're saying they're the only team that matters, so I think... I don't know if we can all agree on that. Can we agree on it? Well, are we a basketball school or what?
No, we're not a basketball
school.
Okay. But they're the only team that matters right now. You're an all or none guy.
I was a big
For you, it's either balls to the wall or nothing.
I was a big O-Town fan. Huge O-Town fan.
Sometimes two things can be true at once.
Sometimes.
We can be a football school, and basketball can be the only sport that matters right now. Both can be true.
Got any other life lessons for me?
I don't know. I'll see if Kanye's tweeted.
I haven't seen him tweet in a while. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. Like I said, then we'll get into some basketball talk. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.